Hello, and welcome to The Writer's Dish on Jefferson Public Radio, where we explore the world of writing and publishing. I'm your host, Amy Miller. A few years ago, a poet friend of mine spent a few weeks as writer-in-residence at Denali National Park in Alaska. It sounded like a dream to me. She lived in a very remote cabin and spent her days writing about the mountain and the landscape and its connection to her own family history. Denali National Park invites a few writers and artists to do their artist-in-residence program every year. And in fact, many other national parks and national monuments around the country also have these artist-in-residence programs. There are lots of them if you Google it. My guest today, poet Jennifer Rood, was a writer-in-residence last year at the Oregon Caves National Monument, which is right here in the JPR listening area. Jennifer and I are going to talk today about these national park, national monument, artist residencies, and about writers' residencies in general, things you may not know about them, and the opportunities and challenges that come with them. Jennifer Rood is a poet and artist rooted in Southern Oregon who retired last year from 30 years of teaching high school English, social studies, and art. Her poetry has appeared in various journals and anthologies, including Big Wing Review, Willowaw Journal and The Literary Hatchet, and she has prize-winning poetry in Verse Weavers and upcoming in Encore. She just released her first full-length collection, which is called Present and Speaking Everywhere. It was published by Not a Pipe Publishing, and it is erasure and blackout poetry, which is a form of poetry where you take an existing piece of writing and you cross out basically parts of the page to produce a poem that hopefully has nothing to do with the original material. It's a really cool form of artwork. She's also the author of the 2023 chapbook, What the Heart Says. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you, Amy.
So can you give us the basics about the Artist-in-Residence program at Oregon Caves, like how long your stay was? And I'm wondering if they had any specific requirements that they wanted from you ahead of time. Like, did you have to go in with a particular project in mind?
I stayed last September and October for 5 weeks up at the Oregon Caves National Monument. I had to submit a CV, a letter of intent, and that didn't have to be super developed. It was just like 100 words, what I intended to do at the monument, and then some samples of my work. I submitted that in January, and I heard back in May that I had been accepted. Mm-hmm. And then, like I say, I got to serve 5 weeks.
Okay, so that's a pretty long lead-up time then. I mean, you had to apply early, and then you had about a six-month period before you found out, and then you had a few months to kind of get your stuff together, like literally get your stuff together and get
right.
Back and everything, right?
Right.
So when you say that they wanted to know what you were going to be doing during your time there, was it like, I'm going to be writing poetry? Was it as simple as that, or did they want something more specific?
I wasn't really sure. They
uh-huh.
just said there was no explanation of what a letter of intent really meant, but I had an idea, and I thought the more specific my idea and the more interesting I think I could make it for the people who would be reviewing it, the more specific to the park, the better my chances would be. And having a love of history, a love of this region, what I proposed was to tell the story of the caves historically, biologically, and the human history as well through poetry.
Uh-huh.
And that was ambitious.
Uh-huh. And also very open-ended.
Yeah. And so when I got there, I was able to manage myself,
mm-hmm.
right? And I did do a lot of that. That gave me a direction. And I also veered off of that plan as well.
Yeah.
And
well, tell us about what sort of living accommodations did you have? And were there other artists there with you, or were you all by yourself?
There were no other artists. The caves has only one space. It's mm-hmm. it's limited space up
gotcha.
There anyway.
Uh-huh.
You go up this long, winding road up into the mountains. And so, yeah, resources are scarce, including living accommodations.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's rangers who are up there and biologists and, you know, forestry experts, that sort of thing. And they all need space. And then there's office space. Anyway, there's only so much space. I got lovely accommodations. I got the VIP space,
okay,
which was sweet. It was just a one-bedroom apartment. I had my own bathroom. Rangers had a shared bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
I was able to have my own space. It was mm-hmm. above the visitor center.
Oh, okay.
So in the chalet. So I was right there.
Yeah.
Like tour groups assemble right under where my apartment was.
Not silent then.
Well, there was a lot of silence, actually.
Okay.
You know, I could hear people down below me if I opened my windows, but mm-hmm. it wasn't disturbing in any way.
Uh-huh.
Fall was coming, and I would open my windows in the morning and hear the birds, mm. and little deer were coming down the mountain, chuffing at each other.
Uh-huh.
So the noise that I did have was great.
That sounds idyllic for a writer's residency. So how did you keep yourself focused while you were there? 5 weeks is a long time for a residency. Did you stick to a routine? How did you do with the project that you went in to do?
I did have a routine. And I gave myself permission to vary from it, of course, just depending on how I felt. But I would get up in the morning, and I generally don't like to eat breakfast. I like to just start writing. And a lot of the beginning of the day was just getting the pencil moving. So writing about dreams, ideas that were occurring to me for the day.
You're listening to The Writer's Dish on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm your host, Amy Miller. And today I'm speaking with poet Jennifer Rood about writers' residencies in national parks and national monuments. So, Jennifer, you're talking about your daily routine. Did you have like some outdoor time during the day? Did you make sure that you got outside a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely. So I would write until I got hungry. Then I would eat. And so that was an inward kind of experience. Then I had to get out and experience the park and have the inspiration like feed into me. So I would go hiking or I would go into the caves with the rangers.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. That was really wonderful.
Like that.
By the end of the day, I was pretty worn out from hiking and writing and just brain work. And I needed people at that point.
Uh-huh.
So I would either give my family a call from like the one spot that you could get reception or hang out with rangers watching old movies.
So what you're saying, it touches on a few ideas that I wanted to talk about residencies. You know, they always sound so wonderful to get away for a week or 3 weeks or 5 weeks or whatever. But, you know, in the practical world, there are some people who would have a hard time doing one. That's a commitment. That's a long time away from your home, from your kids, from your pets.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have folks like single parents or people with low incomes, people working hourly jobs. Some people can't take 2 weeks or 6 weeks away from their jobs. And just traveling is hard for some people. And accessibility is an issue for some people, too, if they need wheelchair access or something like that. So I wonder if you could talk about that a little bit. You know, you do have a family, I know, and I believe you have a child at home.
Yes.
And just how did they deal with that and how did you kind of approach that?
That was the hardest part is to leave knowing that, well, I feel like I hold the house together a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so my child can't drive. And so I was the person to organize, oh gosh, you know, the dental appointments and that sort of thing, and get kids, well, my one left at home, get him to those, and then just all the other things. So my husband had to take up that, and I know that stressed him out because he was, working full time, and then, you know, there wasn't anybody doing the grocery shopping, that sort of thing. So it was difficult to leave my family. It was difficult to leave my garden. It's difficult to leave my cats.
Uh-huh.
I did, because the residency was, it was like an hour and a half drive away from my home.
Mm.
I was able to go home on weekends.
Oh,
and
okay.
That,
you got a little break, yeah.
That
helped. An advantage to doing it kind of in your backyard.
Yes. I don't think I could have done, I wouldn't want to do another 5 week residency if I couldn't.
Yeah.
Have that connection with my
family. I think it's amazing. To me, it's amazing that so many people do those things. And I'm talking about like Yaddo and Hedgebrook and Provincetown and things like that. where they are gone for, it's usually, I don't know, often a like 6 week stint or something like that. There's one national parks one that sounds really interesting to me in Great Basin National Park. That's Eastern Nevada. That is really remote.
Yeah.
And you have to camp and everything while you're there.
Yeah, there's some super remote ones.
Yeah. So, you know, that kind of comes back around to this. This is one of those hidden elitism things in the literary world that only some people can do. Not everyone can do this. And I would lump this in with MFA programs.
Yep.
And book tours and some writers' conferences where, yeah, you know, oh, we love to see the photos of it and everything. But it's a challenge for some people to do. I don't know that we're gonna solve that problem here today on this podcast, but I point it out for folks who run these programs and ask, make a few of the stints smaller, you know, maybe shorter or offer stipend. And I'm going to ask you a really rude question.
Okay.
Because I like to ask rude questions of writers when I can. That's what this podcast is about. Could you talk about the finances of this particular residency? Did it cost you anything? Did they pay you a stipend? Like, how did that work out?
There was no cost to apply to this one. Uh-huh. That was nice. A lot of them, I've lost money applying for some that I didn't get before.
Uh-huh.
And can
you just tell me what the fees typically are for residencies?
$35 to $40.
Okay,
sending
your book out to a publisher. It's kind of comparable to that.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big risk that you take. And so this one was wonderful because it didn't have an application fee. There was no stipend.
Okay.
It was, of course, a gift of space and time and access.
Yeah, and that's really what all of these national park programs bank on, is that this is a great place to be and work.
Absolutely. I got to, you know, like I say, hang out with the rangers. They are the coolest people.
Yeah. Did they want like a reading or a presentation, or did they want some of your poems later to put in a display or something?
You do need to give them so that they can use it in marketing or whatever, some samples of your work.
Uh-huh.
They don't own it, but you have to agree that they can use it. And so, yes, I don't know if that's like a check to make sure that you've actually used the residency for what you said you were going to do.
Or maybe they it's something that their funders like to see.
Right, something like that. They did, I didn't do this, but they typically have you do some kind of community outreach too. And I wasn't able to do that because they were doing road construction during the week.
Oh, huh.
And you really only had people coming up on the weekends, mm-hmm. and I was going home on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
And so I wasn't able to do that community interaction.
Yeah, and I know that varies widely from program to program in the national parks. I've researched a whole bunch of these because they're fun to look at.
They are.
They really are, and they have just all kinds of different, you know, sometimes, we're going to put it up with paintings, you know, in our visitor center afterward, or you're required to teach a workshop or something like that. Do you have any advice for someone who wants to do a residency like the one you did? I mean, do you feel like there were things that you could have done better, or like particularly about the day-to-day just working, you know, being a writer every day and kind of that pressure to, I would think there would be pressure to produce something.
The pressure to produce was what I put on myself. It's like, I didn't want to waste this time. Advice for people who might want to do a residency.
Yeah.
I would say, don't be too ambitious.
Maybe
start with something that is 1 or 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
5 weeks was a lot.
Really glad. That's a lot to start with.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I'd done like 3 days at the coast by myself in a VRBO or something, but this was different.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Jennifer.
Thank you, Amy. Love talking
to you about this. You've been listening to The Writer's Dish, JPR's regional writing and publishing podcast. You can find this program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.